We're talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, let's talk a little bit about several things going on of importance to our farmers and ranchers in your district and across the country. Maybe kind of the top of the list, the word that we are really starting to move forward finally with this rule released by the Environmental Protection Agency intending to basically do away with the WOTUS rule that was advanced by the Obama administration. That's a great step, I know, isn't it?
It's incredibly important, Ron. We have fought using the appropriations process this misguided Obama rule that would have literally given EPA control over all the water in the United States from the time it came down from the heavens until it made it to the Atlantic or the Pacific. We've been dependent on court case wins, but the real issue is the rule itself. And now that the EPA has announced, Director Pruitt, that they'll begin the process of taking the rule back, basically canceling it, this is a great victory and one of those occasions where the Trump administration has done exactly what they said they would do.
I guess there will likely be some challenges by those that wanted us to leave WOTUS in place, and then we've still got to redo the whole rule from the ground up. What are your hopes on that?
Well, I think we'll first have to fight off the entities who want to continue the government down the trail of having complete control of our resources. But with Director Pruitt there, I believe we'll prevail. Then we'll have to come back and see what sort of an alternative rule they offer. I'm sure it will reflect the intent of the law, which would be to continue the process of maintaining a control over waters that are non-navigable at the state and local level. The issues that address water that are in navigable size streams, of course, will probably still be federal, but that's still a step in the right direction. And whether you're in agriculture or manufacturing or the energy business or you've got a business on Main Street, that rule where the previous administration was trying to go to literally give the federal government control over everything in our water in our parking lots, in our backyards, in our farms, in our fields, on our locations, that was one of the most devastating attempts at expanding power I've seen in my time in the nation's capital.
Let's talk budget, if we might. This is going to be obviously kind of the precursor, it seems like, to what can be done with this 2018 Farm Bill later this year or early next year. It sounds like there's a lot of folks that really want big cuts in agricultural spending across the board.
Focus right now in the United States House is more the social nutrition side of the Farm Bill spending. That's where a number of people are gunning for substantial savings. Chairman Conaway has taken the perspective, and I agree with him in this, that the 2014 Farm Bill put this very carefully balanced process in place. And if we're going to achieve further savings in areas such as nutrition, that needs to be done under the framework of the whole Farm Bill. Don't use Farm Bill. Don't use rural America as the cash cow right now to fund something else. And then when it's time to write a new Farm Bill next year in 2018, leave us without the ability to create good policy, whether it's on the nutrition side or whether it's on the commodity side of the equation.
You have the opportunity to hold a hearing under your subcommittee jurisdiction on conservation. Your early thoughts on what a 2018 Farm Bill will look like from a conservation title perspective?
It comes down to how much money is available to us. We gave $23 billion in savings when we did the last Farm Bill in 2014. That was the 10-year projection. Ultimately, it's turned out the savings truly were closer to $100+ million on the 10-year scale. So we've done our part back there. I don't personally see where in the conservation title, or for that matter crop insurance or research or rural development, I don't personally see much to give up. But how many dollars will be available to us and what kind of a package will we craft? You remember, Ron, how hard it was to do the Farm Bill last time. The 2012 Farm Bill became the 2013 Farm Bill that ultimately became the 2014 Farm Bill. When we achieved this consensus, this move away from the old direct payment program over the concepts of insurance products being the safety net, I think we still go down that trail. But how much money do we have to work with? And we really, truly won't know that, I think, until next year. The budget blueprint that's being worked on by the House Budget Committee now will not be a document I expect to be approved until after we've done the appropriation bills, potentially the first time through, in a big omnibus bill at the end of July. So if the budget proposal comes after the actual appropriations process, then it's more of an idealistic document than a guide for what our appropriator friends will do in the next few weeks.
When you start thinking about the process of assembling a new farm bill, you'll be working obviously closely with the chairman. He continues to talk a lot about trying to do it ahead of schedule. Are we going to be able to get this thing pulled off by next end of next summer?
It is possible. It's difficult. The chairman's determined to do it. There are some areas that need to be addressed. Those folks who are cotton farmers, those folks who are dairymen, know that things have not worked out the way we all expected them to do at the time the 2014 Farm Bill is addressed. That needs to be dealt with. The basic structure of the conservation programs, of course, how many acres of CRP will there be, questions like that that have to be addressed. But the basic structure of this Farm Bill will carry over into the next Farm Bill. So think of it more as fine-tuning the 2014 Farm Bill as opposed to completely rewriting ag policy, which is what the 2014 Farm Bill did, as well as the 1996 Farm Bill. It should be easier to fine-tune. I would prefer to do it sooner than later. I agree with Chairman Conaway. But remember, 18 is an election year, midterm presidential, of course, but an election year with every House member and a third of the Senate. It would not be surprising in the least if the process got pushed over into 2019. But still, something has to be done before then to address dairy and cotton, for example.
You know, the decision in 14 that you were very insistent upon as far as giving some additional choices beyond what the Senate was talking about obviously resulted in MPLC and ARC. It seems like there's still a lot of interest, depending on, you know, where people think the future of the ag economy is, on which program's best for them. There's still a lot of folks that like that choice.
Oh, absolutely, and I believe the choice option will be maintained. Here's the key thing to think about, whether it's ARC revenue or PLC price protection. When the new Farm Bill takes effect, I would hope that would be at the end of September, the 1st of October 2018, because we'll have a new five-year Farm Bill, there will be a reset there. So even though when you made your decision about whether to go with PLC or ARC in 2014 and you were locked in for the life of the Farm Bill, with the passage of a new Farm Bill, in effect an extension with revisions of this Farm Bill, there'll be a reset. So you'll have another opportunity to decide, do I want to stay with ARC? Do I want to stay with PLC? Do I want to switch? That's another key element of this Farm Bill concept is, after 5 years of experience, producers should have and will have the ability, based on their experiences, to again decide which is best for their farm, which is best for their farming operation. And that's an important element, choice.
One thing that there's a lot of concern about, are we going to see Congress step up and provide the dollars needed for some of these areas outside of kind of the big three, SNAP, the commodity title, conservation as well? A lot of concern about that maybe we're not putting enough dollars back into things like agricultural research.
Oh, that's a very legitimate point. Now, that was one of my regrets, one of my biggest regrets from the 2014 Farm Bill, was that with the reduction in spending of $23 billion and taking our resources to craft a new commodity, a safety net, protecting the conservation programs, that literally there wasn't anything left to improve the allocation of resources to rural development, to ag research, to those programs that ultimately will decide our future. Remember, long before there were comprehensive farm bills in the 1930s, the federal government, all the way back to 1862 under the Morrow Act, was engaged in the process of making sure that agricultural research was taking place and that that information was being disseminated to farmers all over the United States so they could practice the most modern, efficient, effective techniques. Sadly, as the public attention has gone more to the nutrition title, the crop insurance, the conservation, that core mission of agricultural research hasn't gotten the attention that it deserves. And I've had lots of discussions with Chairman Conaway about this. If the resources are there, or if there's a better way to allocate existing resources, yes, we've got to address both research and rural development.
One last thing, Congressman, getting beyond just the rural policy, agricultural policy, I know there's a lot of folks within your district and a lot of folks across the country in rural America that, just like their urban counterparts, concerned about what's going to happen with health care. The House obviously had a measure. We're watching the Senate. You know, how is this going to play out? Are we going to be? The Republicans going to be able to be able to pull together a successful plan?
I believe at the end of the day, the Senate Republicans will come up with a workable document that will muster 51 votes, pass the Senate, come back to us. I believe at that point you will see a rather extensive, very intense conference, and ultimately will come up with a document to replace Obamacare. If we do nothing in the way Obamacare is structured and the way it was put together by Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Reid and President Obama, it is imploding. It is falling in on itself. The number of counties in the United States where there's only one choice for health insurance providers under Obamacare, that number is substantial and increasing every day. If we do nothing, it will fall in on itself. That will not be fair to all of those Americans who had some form of health insurance that they liked or they thought was workable, that they could afford before Obamacare came into law. Because remember, the president's language was, if you like your health care, you can keep it, except if it doesn't match what I want you to have. And many of the options went away. So if Obamacare just collapses, there are literally millions of Americans who won't have anything. And you can't do that to the hardworking folks who were paying their bills and taking care of themselves before Obamacare, who saw their choices go away and were forced into Obamacare. If it goes away, they have nothing. So we have to have an alternative. We'll see how it works out over the course of this summer and into the fall. It's a driving force. And in the United States House, leadership's very focused about doing appropriations and moving on to tax reform. But you can't do those things. You can't do tax reform for sure until you've addressed the health care of the nation.
Thanks, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas talking with us about a variety of issues of great importance to our country, both in the agricultural community, but nationally as well. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.